بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي لبابة بشير بن عبد المنذر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من لم يتغن بالقرآن فليس منا. رواه أبو داود بإسناد جيد. ومعنى يتغنى يحسن صوته بالقرآن. Currently we are discussing the chapter which deals with the desirability of beautification of the Qur'an with one's voice to recite. Technically, if we have to translate this, although we have discussed quite at length that it doesn't literally mean that, to recite the Qur'an in a melodious voice. When it comes to melodious, normally we tend to associate this with singing or with songs. Somebody sings a melody or somebody sings in a alluring fashion. That is not what is meant by the beautification of the Qur'an with one's voice. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah clearly enunciates and explains that this is that type of recitation that invokes the khashiyat and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts of the listeners, and the maqsad and purpose of the Qur'an, that the eye of the listener does not remain dry. In other words, it is affected by the recitation of the Qur'an. The current hadith we are discussing, the narrator is a sahabi by the name of Bashir bin Rifa'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, or Bashir bin Abdul Munzir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His agroman, or in other words, kuniyat or nickname, which he is more famously known by, is Abu Lubaba. He was from the Aus tribe of Madinah Munawwara, Ansari tribe. He accepted Islam in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Aqaba in Mina. As we know the history of Mina, in the 11th year of Hijrah, the first group of six Sahaba from Medina Munawwara accepted Islam in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The names of the Sahaba vary according to the different riwayat. Dalail al-Nubuwa, according to the riwayat or the book of history, there it is mentioned, Ubadah bin Samit, Aus bin Sabit, Abdurrahman bin in any case, six Sahaba accepted Islam in the 11th year of Hijrah. The following year, according to historical reports, 12 Sahaba accepted Islam. Then the third year, or the year preceding the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 70 men and two women, Umm Mani and Umm Ammara radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, accepted Islam. It's mentioned about this Sahabi, Bashir bin Rifa'a, or Abu Lubaba bin Munzir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he accepted Islam in the 12th year of the Hijrah, or the 12th year of the Nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not Hijrah, the 12th year of the Nubuwat. He was in the second group that accepted at Bayat Aqaba. He participated in most of the battles in Badr. He is counted amongst those Sahaba who took part in the battle of Badr, even though physically he did not take part in Badr. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him back to be the governor of Madinah Munawwara in the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was counted to that extent that the Mali Ghanimat, the booty of war, he also received a share in its distribution. During the battle of Qaynuqa and Sawiq, he was also made the governor of Madinah Munawwara. When he passed away, there's a difference of opinion. One opinion that he passed away prior to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and one opinion that he passed away during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 15 ahadith are narrated by this particular sahabi. He narrates and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yataghanna bil Quran." That person who does not make taghanni bil Quran, falaysa minna, he is not from amongst us. Now, purposely translated this word, this word does not make taghanni bil Quran. because of a difference of opinion as to what is the meaning in the context of this hadith. We find that in Arabic, if you want to understand what a particular word means, you have to look for its root letters. Normally, most words have three root letters. Now, based on what the three root letters are, we get a proper understanding of what the meaning is. Now, in this instance, the root letters are Ghain, Noon and Ya, which one hand can refer to Taghanni, which is singing or reading in a melodious voice, as is mentioned in the subtext of the heading of this hadith, Yataghanna yuhassinu sawtahu bil Qur'an, beautify the Qur'an with your voice. However, the root words Ghain, Noon and Ya, Ghina, also have a different meaning. What is that meaning? Independence or wealth, having a surplus. Istighna, like we often hear. In other words, to be independent, not reliant, dependent on anyone else. The reason I'm mentioning this is that if we look at the severity of the warning that is found in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who doesn't make taghanni bil Quran, laysa minna, he's not from us. In other words, he's not from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not practicing on the millat of Islam. It's a very, very severe warning. You know, like when a parent gets upset with his child and says, you know what, if you carry on like this, I'm going to disown you. You don't belong to me. You can understand how serious that is. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you're not from my ummah, I want nothing to do with you. Laysa minna, you are not from me. Now this type of expression, we find it in other ahadith in very serious crimes. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day was in the marketplace of Medina Munawwara, passed by one person. What was this person doing? He was cheating in business, deceiving his customers. In other words, actually stealing from them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so upset at this. He said, "Man ghasha falaysa minna." That person who deceives people in earning his livelihood, who adopts deception, is not. He doesn't belong to me. He's not from this ummah. Now there we can understand such a severe sin the person is doing. When you steal in your livelihood, your iman is weak. Your yaqeen, conviction that Allah is their provider, is not there. You are a Muslim, you are adopting lies, treachery, deception. This goes against the very grain of Islam. You are supposed to be an ambassador of Islam in the way you earn your livelihood. So therefore Rasulullah to say, Laysa minna, makes sense. Here some ulama have raised the question, what is the crime technically if we take the meaning beautification of voice? You read the Quran but you didn't beautify it with your voice. You read the Quran, for every letter you are being rewarded. Is not beautifying it with your voice such a serious crime that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now going to say you don't belong to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So some ulama say that here the word yataghanna is not in the meaning of reading the Quran in a beautiful voice. It is in the meaning, like I said, when you want to understand the meaning of something, you have to look at what the root words are. So they say in this instance, the prohibition is with regards to istighna. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَغْنِ بِهِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ بِحَيْثُ يَطْلُبُ الْهُدَى مِنْ سِوَاهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. That person whose attitude and conviction about the Qur'an is not such that he regards the Qur'an as the only source of hidayat, and he looks for hidayat and guidance elsewhere besides the Quran. Laysa minna, he is not from amongst us. And that is, to take that meaning is clear. Why? That la shakka anna man talaba al-huda min ghayri al-Quran adallahu Allah, al-iyadu billah. There's no doubt in the fact that if anyone looks for hidayat in something else besides the Quran, when it comes to origins of man, he wants to take his guidance from the books of scientists, take his guidance from the books of atheists, wants to write it for his PhD, wants to study Darwin's theory of evolution and then start believing in such sort of thing. For akhlaq, character. He wants to follow the ways of those who are enemies of the Quran. In other words, he is seeking guidance in whatever aspect, whether it's his beliefs, whether it's his conduct, whether it's his dressing, whatever aspect of his life. He doesn't have this attitude that the Quran is the final word. Quran is sufficient to guide me. Such a person, obviously, laysa minna. He who does not regard the Quran as sufficient for his guidance, if you take this word of yataghanna to mean istaghni, istaghna, who does not regard the Quran as sufficient for his guidance, such a person is not from us, is not from the ummah of Rasulullah. Allah protect us. Such a person, Allah will deviate him. Why talab al huda min ghayr al Quran? He has sought guidance from elsewhere besides the Quran. In hadha al Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Dhalika al kitab la rayba fi hudal lil muttaqin. Quran is from head to toe hidayat. So as the ummati of Rasulullah, we have to regard it as the first source of hidayat. And we have to regard it as sufficient for our hidayat. Another meaning of the word ghina means wealth. So man lam yataghanna bil Quran, the one whom Allah has blessed with the Quran, and he thinks somebody else has something better than what he has, or his gaze is on the people of ghina and wealth of the world, he hasn't, in his heart, he doesn't have the conviction and belief of what a great wealth Allah has given him. You are hafiz a Quran and you are looking at the people of dunya. You have the wealth of the knowledge of Quran and you feel that the people have something better than you. So such a person also, laysa minna, he is not from us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasan Basri rahimahullah is to say, wallahi, ma dun al Quran min ghina, wala ba'dahu min haja. Ma dun al Quran min ghina, there is no greater wealth than the Quran. If Allah has blessed you with the wealth of the Quran, you are wealthy. Your gaze should not be, you have no need, no hajat after this. He also mentioned, marfu'an, the sanad of the riwayat may be a little bit weak. Man qara'a al Quran, fara'a anna ahadan utiya afdal mimma utiya faqadis. تَصْغَرَ مَا عَذَّمَهُ اللَّهِ. That person who recites the Qur'an, in other words, قَارِيُ Quran, is the one who has the knowledge and is blessed with Qur'an, and he thinks that someone else is given something better than what he has. In other words, dunya. Then فَقَدِسْ تَصْغَرَ, he has demeaned. He has demeaned, he has looked down, he has not shown value for that which Allah has elevated. مَا عَذَّمَهُ اللَّهِ. This riwayat is found in Tabarani. قال عمر بن العاص عمر بن عاص رحمه الله says ينبغي لحامل القرآن ألا يكون له إلى أحد حاجة ولا إلى الخلفاء فمن دونهم. That person, it is munasib, it is appropriate for the one who has been blessed with the Quran that he shows no need upon any of the people of dunya. You are حامل القرآن, don't stretch your hand out to anyone. Become mustaghni, become independent. Value the wealth which Allah Ta'ala has given you. Particularly, don't demean yourself in the court of the kings and the rulers. Don't look to them. Don't stretch your hand out to them. Don't look towards their pockets. Allah has given you a greater wealth than that which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given them. So like I said, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّى. The word ghina, one is independence. One is wealth. So these two first two meanings, many of the muhaddithin have said that the context of this hadith, because of the severity of the warning that is found in the hadith, actually has that meaning. مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. However, the third meaning also is there. What is the third meaning? The literal meaning of يَتَغَنَّ, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned, يُحَسِّنُ صَوْتَهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. That person who does not beautify the Quran with his voice. That person who does not beautify the Quran with his voice, he is not from amongst us. Obviously, that requires some explanation. We've run out of time. Shall we continue?